You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome to the only six-star radio show on planet Earth. This is World Class Radio. I am your co-host, Jordan the Body Fox, and with me today, the man, the co-host with a plan, the great Black Hype Ray Cash. Ray, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good, bro. How are you doing? That's the question.
I'm doing pretty good. Before we start the show.
Okay.
I'd like to give a shout out.
Let's hear it.
Do you mind?
The floor is yours, my friend.
I want to give a shout out. Forgive me. You're going to get sentimental, Ray, for about 2 seconds.
Okay.
We have, as we've started this podcast/radio journey, we've made a lot of friends in terms of other podcasts and other podcasters. And, you know, when one of us succeeds, we all kind of succeed because we're all kind of in this journey together. So I want to give a huge, huge shout out to a friend of the show, Kelsey from Super Kicking It with Kelsey, and the guys from Views from the Top Rope, because they are officially all in and will be on Podcast Row at the All In event.
That is so awesome.
That is huge, tremendous, big. Every other magnanimous, large, colossal, every other synonym for those words you want to admit, because number one, both of those guys, but I know Kelsey, I know of Kelsey a little more than the Views guys, but Kelsey lives for wrestling. Like, I feel like her blood, it like is pumped with if you were to put her blood and like look at it through a microscope, like you would see like the platelets say wrestling. You know, like she lives with it. So, but no, I'm super hyped for them, man. And I might not be the biggest fan of All In or everything involved with it, but I'm excited for the medium, and I'm excited for our friends to get that kind of shine because they deserve it.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. I'm 100% with you. I'm 100% with you, man. That is freaking awesome. Super Kicking It with Kelsey. Don't forget, she is she hosts her own wrestling podcast, as Ray said.
It's, and the podcast and the other podcast, the podcast would be the Two-Face podcast, so I don't want to leave out her podcast with I can't remember her partner's name, but
yeah,
I don't want to leave them out.
I think his name is Paul, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. But both Super Kicking It, that show, and the Two-Face pod will both be on Podcast Row. It's a big deal.
Absolutely. I am a patron on patreon.com to two different shows, and one of them is a pretty big show that puts out a lot of content, and I don't know if I would still consider them an indie show anymore, but Super Kicking It with Kelsey is the other person that I'm a backer to, and she puts out content nearly every single day. It's interviews and just all kinds of stuff. She puts show notes out. She puts up polls so you can vote about different stuff that she's going to work on. She, just like Ray said, she lives and breathes wrestling. So go check her out. Super Kicking It with Kelsey, Two-Face Wrestling Podcast, all that jazz. And same way with the guys from View from Top Rope. Congratulations to you guys. Like Ray said, we don't know y'all quite as much as we know Kelsey, but what we know of y'all, the conversations that we've had with y'all have been absolutely marvelous towards us. You've treated us fair and square. Y'all have helped us. Y'all have shared our content as we've shared y'all's content. Just been really cool getting to know you guys as well. And now let's begin the show. Pow, pow, pow. That's the that was the fireworks that used to be at the beginning when you opened up Raw and SmackDown. You remember?
That's what that was.
Remember when they used to shoot from the ceiling and they would land on either side of the entry walkway?
Oh, I remember that, but that's definitely not what that sounded like.
It sounded just like it, Ray. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, but you're right. My bad. Yeah. What am I talking about?
Oh man. Anyway, this is the SmackDown Breakdown, man, where we're going to cover the whole two-hour SmackDown that took place last night. We started off with our main home girl, Mrs. Ambrose, Renee Young, starts off in the ring, and she introduces the American Dragon. Oh, I'm such an indie mark.
You definitely are, yes, absolutely.
Mr. Daniel Bryan. Daniel comes to the ring. He gets, as usual, per usual, he gets massive yes chants. They tried to get that whole first question out, and they have to pause twice because all the chants. Number one, Daniel is over. Very few people we've seen in wrestling history. And two, that UK fan base is rabid. Wouldn't you agree?
Completely. When they're not, and I don't want to call them out because I feel like it's while the UK is a big part of it, it's more the crowd, it's more of a mixed crowd. But the crowd, like, after WrestleMania, I feel like the shows in UK are better than those crowds because they're just as rabid, but they're respectful. Whereas the crowd at WrestleMania, after WrestleMania rather, they put themselves over too much for me.
Okay,
these
I can
guys
see that. I can
UK,
see that.
Consistently, they're loud, they're rabid, they're chanting, they're having fun, but they're not saying stuff like, "We are awesome!" Like, bro, you know, like, keep it to the show. And they have been tremendous both nights. Hats off to all the guys in London both nights. They've been a great crowd.
Absolutely. I completely agree. They've been absolutely phenomenal, really cool. And the shows have been good. I forgot to ask you, what would you rate this SmackDown? That's what I usually start off with, and I forgot to ask you. What would you rate it?
I don't know. B+, B-.
I got
you. It was a good show. It wasn't great, but it was a good show. You know, I'm going to give it a B+ because out of four matches, they had the best Shinsuke AJ match. So
it's true.
I'm going to give them a B+.
That's true. Last question. When is the last time that you watched either a Raw or a SmackDown and you turned it off that night thinking, wow, that was actually a phenomenal show?
Well, I'm the wrong one to ask that because 90% of the time I turn off Raw and SmackDown and I'm pleased.
Okay. Okay. Well, cool. That's cool,
good,
man.
A good amount of the time. I know a lot of fans get exacerbated by after they watch SmackDown and Raw in particular, but for number one, for me, the longer or the more wrestling, the better. Like 5-6 hour shows will tire me out. I mean, you know, I might fall asleep and take a nap or something, but I'm still, you know, enthralled and intrigued, and like I don't get tired of wrestling. Like I could watch wrestling 24 hours and I won't be like, damn, I'm tired of this. I love it.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't bother me. And two, I'm not one that dislikes the product. I enjoy the product. I like what the majority of what they're doing. And the parts that they're doing I don't like, I accept and realize it's not for me. For somebody, just maybe not for me.
I got
you. So I'm not the guy who says everything has to be for me, otherwise I don't like it. I'm not that guy.
That makes total sense. I think that's kind of one of the many things that makes our show so unique. And that's because we aren't two guys that are mad about the product or think there's too much wrestling or think Vince McMahon's an idiot or want it to go back to the Attitude Era. Like, we're both extremely, I don't even know if this is the correct way, we're both very content with the wrestling that we get from WWE. I know we differ on a few things, one of them being Roman Reigns.
Sure.
But, I mean, I think we've agreed on some stuff, you know, a lot of stuff about John Cena and what he, some of the stuff that he did. We haven't had an episode on that yet, but for the most part, we agree that the content that WWE is putting out on a regular basis is far better than average.
And you know, it's, you brought up the attitude there, it made me think of something. I just kind of wanted to make this point real quick. A lot of people swear the attitude there is the biggest error in the business. No, there's just no comparison. You know, not at all. Like, they were doing 8.1 ratings in the attitude error, whereas wrestling struggles to get to a 3. You know?
Right.
So it's just there's no comparison between how big the business was in wrestling. It's bigger now in mainstream terms, but in, like, you know, in wrestling terms, it's it would not be as big as it was then. But we forget that that was so influential that we think that all wrestling should be that way. But you realize that wrestling has been PG for the entirety of wrestling except for those 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So when wrestling went back PG in what? Let's say, so the attitude era started in 97. It ended in 2001. Ruthless Aggression started right after that and probably ended about 04, 05.
Okay.
So if I'm really stretching it, I'll give it 8 years. Right?
Okay.
97, 2005. Other than those 8 years, wrestling has been PG the entire time. So when people complain about PG sucks or it needs to be more violent and stuff, so you're gonna erase all of wrestling history for 8 years you liked?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we call wrestling PG, but, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff about it is not PG. You know, we could definitely have a show about that as well. But, you know, I loved the Attitude Era, but I was also a younger guy too, you know. The people that, all of us that enjoy the Attitude Era, I mean, if it was up to me, I think we should all just think fondly of the Attitude Era time and then now enjoy the product for what it is and enjoy it with your children. Because now it's a show that doesn't have Sable and Jacqueline get naked on air and Tori and Sable, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or
Tori and Sable getting naked is what I was going to say. Sure. I don't care about them kissing and stuff. I don't, that's cool. I mean,
absolutely. Or people falling on thumbtacks and barbed wire bats and all this stuff is cool and it has a place. It's just, so PG allows them to not only get better sponsors, but to not be forced to tell every story. Doesn't have to be forced to be the same style of story, you know?
Right.
And while I'm a huge fan of ECW, what they did, every story had to be told with extreme violence. I don't want to say every story because I don't want to be that guy to not normalize and to not realize, because they had great wrestling and other things. But, you know, I feel like, you know, in PG, it's a better conduit to tell multiple different stories. And you're not forced to have to do this.
Right.
Because we've seen in since they went PG some very violent feuds. The Shawn Michaels versus Jericho feud was in the PG era. That was super violent, right? Everything about Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins was super violent. So you can be violent, but you're not forced. Everything has to be that violent. Maybe that's just me, this wasn't even a conversation we planned on having.
Totally get it.
It just brought up something. And while I had the opportunity, I just, you know, I don't want people to think that everything has to be PG. Like, the Attitude Era was literally four years of our life, you know.
So
everything doesn't have to be. Don't sacrifice all of what wrestling could be for 4 years.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I guess we better get back on track, though, huh? That's a
No,
that was me that took us off course like that. That's why we have our own show, bro, so we can talk about this stuff, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that agree, you know, and we like that. But, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts that I don't agree with a lot of the content. And, you know, people, some of our listeners might not agree with that, and that's totally cool because we can still enjoy the same show, you know. It doesn't bother me if, you know, some people still do miss the Attitude Era. I mean, the good thing about wrestling is there's so much different stuff going on in wrestling and so many different types of wrestling that there is always common ground for two fans that disagree can agree on. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Anyway, so Daniel Bryan's out in the ring. He's giving an interview. He gets interrupted by Big Cass. Cass comes talking shit. Talking crap, sorry. Cass is out there, yada, yada, yada. He goes to get in the ring. Him and DB mix it up. Daniel Bryan actually gets him in a submission hold, and Big Cass taps. Bah, bah,
tears
bah.
That knee up. Tears that knee up.
And that's what he was out with for a long time, right? Is a knee injury? Did he tear his ACL?
Tore his ACL, yeah.
Gotcha. I love what they're doing with Daniel Bryan. They have him... his character is a real person. It doesn't seem contrived or anything like that. Like, he plays himself, a real person, and I really dig that. I think he probably does that better than anybody, you know?
Yeah, up there with the best, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Next, we see our main man, friend of the show, 2017 Rolling Stone Wrestler of the Year, The Miz, show up for commentary. He's on commentary to call the New Day, which was Xavier Woods and Big E going up against The Bar, Sheamus, and Cesaro. What'd you think about this match, and what did you think of The Miz's commentary, and why did you love it?
Because it's The Miz.
Yeah, exactly.
Miz is the best talker. Miz is the best talker in the business. And the thing that great talkers have all realized that maybe other talkers have not realized is that the best talkers put over everybody else. That's when you're a great talker. Like, you're a good talker when you talk about yourself. Anybody can talk about yourself. But the best talkers are the ones who put their opponents over just as good as they're putting themselves over, because then you're building, then now people care about the guy you're talking about.
That's a good point.
You know, if you want to just dog him out, trash him all the time, then, you know, what's the purpose of me wanting to watch? You just told me he's trash. Miz is great at saying, hey, this guy's a great competitor. This guy's amazing. He can't beat me on my best day. You know, stuff like that.
Right, and right.
So all Miz did the entire match was talk about how he's destined to win Money in the Bank because he's the best. Does it mean that Cesaro, Sheamus, Big E, and Xavier Woods aren't great competitors? They're amazing guys. But this is my match. I've done this. I've done that. I've fought this. You know, it's wonderful because you're putting yourself over and you're putting over the guys in the ring who, by the way, have great chemistry and knocked it out the park with a great match.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I knew you'd come. That's the cadence that I was trying to say absolutely when. I don't know if it's probably sounded crap like everything else.
No, I got that one. That one actually makes sense.
Oh, okay, good.
By the way, I like this little three week feud that New Day and Cesaro and Sami have had.
Yeah.
Because little mini feuds are very, very good to have. So, of course, it started before the Greatest Royal Rumble when they walked up and all that. But started off, Sheamus wanted to fight Xavier. Xavier rolls him up. Next week, Cesaro fights Xavier. Cesaro beats Xavier. This week, in a tag match for a spot in the Money in the Bank ladder match, the New Day beat Cesaro and Sheamus with Xavier beating Cesaro. Like, there's a little mini story in there that's it kind of keeps you invested.
Right.
You know, not just guys coming out there to wrestle. Like, there's a reason these guys are wrestling, and there's a reason that they care about wanting to beat each other.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's the type of stuff that makes you want to watch.
Absolutely. And, you know, to top it off, this match, like you said, was for one of the teams, one of the stables, to have a spot in the Money in the Bank ladder match. So it meant something. And I'm always, you know, I don't know too many fans that are not a fan of this, but I'm a huge fan of matches that have something on the line. You know what I mean? Bragging rights is cool, but you know, whenever you're able to have a match that the winner gets something, that's always appealing to me. What's up?
And the steaks are important and delicious.
Absolutely. That's a good one. That's a good one. I've never heard that before. Important and delicious.
That's a Raycast Especial.
Especial. I dig it. 411 Mania, they gave this match 3.25 stars. I'd probably agree with them. It's a good match. Next, we see the Bludgeon Brothers. They're looking for a team to come play. They promised some bludgeoning. Paige is backstage. She tells Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose that they're going to have a match. And I love how they took this. They were like, "Oh, so it's a handicap match. It's us two versus Becky Lynch. Oh, cool. So we'll definitely win. Then we'll both get a spot." And I just was like, "Damn it, y'all know that's not what it means." But
is it too early to boycott Paige?
Oh, you're not liking it?
No, it's not that I'm not liking it. I just think she's being completely unfair to Mandy and Sonya.
Oh, okay, I see. Is Mandy Rose your favorite female wrestler on SmackDown right now?
Not even in the slightest bit, no.
Is she... okay, fair enough.
Is she gorgeous? Yes, but yeah. No. Not at all.
You know, hey, I'll admit, Sonya Deville is one of my favorite on SmackDown. I love her gimmick.
Yes.
And I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, but I love her her tomboyish style, if that makes sense. And I think she's a gorgeous woman. She's a great wrestler, and she gives that, rare,
it's badass.
Yeah. She looks like in a shoot fight or in a work fight, she could kick your ass. You know what I mean? And not all wrestlers, male or female, give off that, you know, give that view off, I guess you would say. She does it, and she does it well.
Just talking about Daniel Bryan, when you're yourself and you turn it up, people, it kind of resonates with people.
Right.
Sonya's a real-life MMA fighter. This isn't a gimmick for her. This is who she is, you know?
Right.
So, and I've loved Sonya ever since she started the gimmick back in NXT. When she was still trying to figure it out, there's always a place for a shoot fighter gimmick in pro wrestling. There's
Absolutely.
Always a place for it. Because if wrestling is simulated combat, it would make sense for somebody who really does combat to be a part of it. It just makes sense.
Yep, absolutely.
But two things real quick.
All right.
The match is not time for the match, so one thing. You know, we talk a lot of the time about how the trope of a heel general manager is kind of out. It's kind of played out, right?
Right.
Because the whole point of having a heel general manager is to basically be an antagonist for one of the faces. That's pretty much it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets annoying because sometimes they can take over the show. Well, Paige is kind of doing this with Mandy and Sonya, but Paige is a face. Like, at this point, it's like you have a vendetta against these girls. And I'm talking completely storyline, of course. But, you know, like, you're going out of your way to put these girls in situations that are not conducive to their success. But everybody else, Lana has a match for the to get in the damn Money in the Bank. Lana, you know, like, everybody else getting fair treatment except for Mandy and Sonya.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know,
Yeah, like, I agree.
I'm with Mandy and Sonya. Hashtag I'm with them.
I do agree. It does seem like, you know, simply because they have a bad attitude, or even more so, now that I'm talking out loud, it would probably be more so, I look at it more so like this. Paige used to be with them, and she doesn't want anyone to think that they're getting fair treatment, so she's being harder on them. And, yeah, and, you know, people are kind of cheering it because they're bad, they're heels.
Sure, but no, yeah, they should,
Yeah, but, yeah, like you said, it's they're not getting fair treatment. I agree.
And in a work job,
this would not stand. This aggression would not stand, man.
No. And I'm sure that the storyline is going to be that Paige is trying to help them in her mind.
Like, yeah, and like trying to help them be on their own and stuff like that.
Yeah, and make them tough and, you know, all that other stuff, you know, wrestling stuff. But
right.
Yeah, but she's, as far as I'm concerned, she's a heel GM when it comes to those girls.
I dig it. Next, we see AJ Styles commenting on his match with Nakamura. He teases all kinds of wacky stipulations. Hell in a Cell match mixed with a bull rope match, mixed with the Kennel match.
Inferno.
And what was the Kennel? Remember the Kennel match? He also mentioned that some guard dogs being on the outside.
The one that I liked was a pole on a pole match.
The pole on the pole match.
Vince Russo would love that.
Yeah. And then she said, is that where Elvis is going to be the referee? And he goes, come on, be serious, Renee.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I thought that was pretty good. And good. Then our boy, something that I just learned that he invented, Mr. Tranquilo himself.
Yes.
Andre Cien Almas making his SmackDown Live debut.
Bro, let me tell you, I ain't been so hyped for something on a TV in a long time.
I dig it.
Like, it's going to sound very hyperbolic, but dog, things are going to change now that this dude is on the main roster. Like, he's that good. Andrade Cien Almas is that good. Let me say it for the people in the back listening. Andrade Cien Almas is that good. He is tremendous. So yeah, I don't even care that he fought a jobber. I don't care.
Yeah,
it's just cool to see him.
Yeah, you know, I actually kind of like the bringing back of the jobbers in the last couple of years. I actually read an interview with Triple H, and he explained why bringing back jobbers is best for business. It was a shoot interview, and it made a lot of sense. You want to build up. I think it was when they were feeding jobbers to Nia Jax, or Braun Strowman, because it was like a year or so ago, maybe two.
Yeah.
So it was Braun Strowman. They were feeding all the jobbers too, and that's how Ellsworth got his way into the promotion. But anyway, I was kind of questioning it up until I seen this interview with Triple H and the way he explained it, and I wouldn't dare try to explain how he explained it because I wouldn't do it justice. But the way he described it was like, you know, hey, this is something that we need to do. We got to get over to the fans the fact that this guy is a badass, you know? And I dig it. So I love Jake Constantino was the jobber that Almas whooped his ass last night. So,
well, the beauty of beating jobbers is that you establish a character, you establish dominance, and you establish, most importantly, a moveset in the eyes of the fans without hurting anybody.
Right.
So imagine if that was Ty Dillinger that he just beat on his debut. Well, Ty is hurt because Ty just got his ass beat.
Right.
You know, and I understand the argument in this case with Andrade beating a jobber is, and I understand the argument against it, is that we've waited 4 weeks. Every week they've said we're not coming yet, we're coming. So it kind of built up. It kind of built his debut up, and all that just to wrestle a jobber. Excuse me. But to their credit, they mentioned after the match, we've been all this time. We're supposed to be coming. We built it up. And that's who you give us? So
I like it.
At least they acknowledged it.
Yeah. Yeah, I dig it. I when I was watching it early this morning, I thought Almas looked good. Zelina Vega cutting that promo afterwards, I just thought it was nice. And the story, like you said, where she's like, "And this is what you brought us?" And I thought it was great. Think, can we touch on a little bit? You said that you think SmackDown is going to change with Cien Almas now on the show. Is it because you think he's going to make such a big impact? When I was watching this morning, I did not think that he got a real big reaction after the match when Zelina Vega was cutting that promo. Do you think that was just, you know, the crowd thing, or do you think that he's going to have to adapt a bit because not all of the main roster fans watch NXT?
No, we fall into this habit of having a microwave mindset, right?
Right.
Where it has to happen now. We got to get to the point now, get to the plot now, get to the story now. Wrestling's a long game, so everything about Andrade is going to build up and take time. Like, nobody debuts their first night and everybody gets it, right?
Right.
It's no different than if I would do a magic trick for you, and the second I start the magic trick, you're like, "Oh, I got it." No, you give me a couple minutes to run through the trick, and then you see it.
Right.
So, I think he got a decent pop when he came out, considering, like you said, an NXT guy. But yeah, it's definitely gonna be a couple weeks, maybe a month or so, before he gets like with the reaction he was getting in NXT, only because you have to establish who he is to the audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, the majority of the casual viewing audience doesn't understand the significance behind Andrade Cien Almas. You know, where the smart fans know, where this was La Sombra and he started Los Ingobernables and he created Tranquilo, and in NXT, you know, he's always had great matches, but then Zelina got him, and then he had 5-star matches with Johnny Gargano, and he did all. We didn't, you know, if you're just a casual guy, you don't know that. You just see a Hispanic dude who can wrestle.
Right.
Why do I care about him? As time goes on, the next couple weeks and the next couple months, it will be established why you should care about him. It's just a matter of time.
I dig it. I dig it.
And that's with any debuting or re-debuting superstar who, in the eyes of the WWE, is unknown.
Yeah. I dig it, man. Perfect answer to the question, man. I couldn't ask for a better answer because like I said, every time I ask you a question, you teach me something new, because I was kind of thinking like that, but at the same time, I was like, man, this guy's made such a, he's made such an impact in his career. Why wouldn't he get a bigger pop after the match? And, you know, like you said, you just explained it, you know, unless you're avidly watching NXT and you've read about his past in AAA and in Mexico and stuff, you wouldn't know, you know, all the heights that his career has already reached. So you make perfect sense.
And then you have to, and that's the reason why they want just about every new signee to go through NXT for a little bit. And I realize that sometimes fans think that that's insulting to a guy like Shinsuke Nakamura, who's been wrestling for 15 years and is one of the biggest stars, you know, and I guess you could say on the planet, but definitely in Japan before he got signed.
Right.
But in Shinsuke's case, it was to get acclimated to living in America and, you know, and all that stuff, and traveling in America and getting better English and stuff. But the biggest reason, besides learning the presentation, is to get you acclimated to the company and get the company acclimated to you.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Because let me give you an example. If Kenny Omega got signed tomorrow, right? I am very positive a large amount of the fan base will know who he was. But then there's going to be an equally as large part of the fan base who don't. So if Kenny Omega walked out tomorrow, walked out Monday, and pinned Roman Reigns in his first match, it wouldn't get the pop you'd expect it to get, because people would be like, who is this?
Right.
Who is this beating Roman? Roman's been the guy we've been established as the best in the company.
Right.
And Kenny Omega has not been established to people who don't watch New Japan. And we're all wrestling fans. I get that. And a lot of, you know, we're surrounded by diehards, right? Because we're diehards ourselves. But we have to understand that New Japan, the New Japan viewership is not very large in America. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
not absolutely.
To say that people don't care about it or don't know about it, but the viewership isn't large. Like, New Japan World out like barely has 100,000 subscribers. It's not a diss. It is what it is. So that's why a guy like Andrade Cien Almas spending 2 years in NXT is helpful, because not only does he get to grow his gimmick and grow who he is as a person, but he's established a little more to the fan base who now, when they put him to the main roster, you got something to pull from.
Right.
You have a story to tell now, because, hey, this guy did this in NXT. And, oh, hey, you know Ty Dillinger, the guy who's on our shows? He beat him. Oh, by the way, you know this guy, the guy who's on your shows who's been established? Oh, yeah, he beat him too. You know, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's better for 35% of the fan base to know who you are than 3%.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And AJ's the rare exception.
Yeah.
AJ's a rare exception, because and to be fair, AJ's first month was rough.
Yeah, it was. He got a good pop, you know, at WrestleMania, but yeah, just like in 99, I think, when Jericho came over, you know, it took a little bit of acclimating, you know what I mean? He went from a place where he got the finish, who's going over, and they crafted an entire match going into a place where agents take a prominent role in crafting said match. So, you know, it took some time to acclimate, but, you know, he's one of the best in the world, so you see he's still putting on 5-star classics. You know what I mean?
And in AJ's situation, AJ debuted in Orlando, where he made his name. So, of course, he was going to be known in that city. But go back and watch all the Raws afterwards and SmackDowns afterwards, from the moment he debuted until his match at WrestleMania with Jericho. His crowd reaction is not huge,
right?
Because the portions of the crowd didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that matters, man. You know.
Yeah.
We have to understand everybody doesn't have the same eyes or the same interests that we do.
Absolutely, I understand. Next up, we had Rusev and Aiden English celebrating in Rusev's private locker room. Rusev comments on destroying Daniel Bryan last week. They even make fun of London. Aiden has a new song he's about to sing, but Lana arrives and she announces that she's got a Money in the Bank qualifying match next week against Billy Kay, right?
Yes.
They all celebrate. They announce, or they don't announce, they say to each other, you know, they're going to be the first ever Mrs. and Mrs. Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our homeboy Aiden English ends it with a Rusev Day. Yeah. What do you think? Yeah.
Bravo.
I think anything that Rusev and Aiden English touch right now turns to gold. These guys are great. And Lana's cool, too. Lana is magnificent on the microphone. You know, she's got a long way to go when it comes to in-ring work. But, I mean, you know, she wasn't a professional wrestler 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, Carmella was the former professional wrestler 3 years ago, and Carmella can wrestle a competent match. Not saying she's good,
right?
But she can wrestle a competent match. Lana can't even wrestle a competent 5-minute match.
Yeah, and she may not ever be able to. I don't know. So,
oh no, she cares. She cares too much to not get good.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's the difference between Lana and Eva Marie.
Yeah.
Eva Marie, I think Eva Marie cared more about proving people wrong than she cared about getting better.
Right.
Whereas Lana really truly cares about getting better. So there's a tremendous difference there. You know, girls like Eve Marie and Cameron were more in love with the fame of the business. Lana don't have that luxury because her husband's in the business.
Right.
So it's all wrestling for her anyway.
I dig it. I'm very anxious to see what she turns into in the next few years in the ring.
I will make this prediction here. Hot take number one. Lana in 5 years will be what Trish Stratus was when she started.
What?
Trish Stratus when she started was trash. Because Trish Stratus was a model who knew nothing about wrestling, didn't really probably care about it, to be honest with you, other than she watched when she was a kid. And then she started training. And when she first started wrestling, she was below average.
Right.
And then her and Fit worked and worked and worked and worked for Finley. Worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And she got better and she got better and she got better. And she made herself into being a legitimately great wrestler. And Lana has that same drive, it seems like. So for all we know, she might have the match with Billie Kay next week, and she might come out there looking like Asuka. You never know.
Right.
Because she's working at it.
Yeah. I dig it. Like I said, I want to see Lana. I'd love to see where she's going to be in 5 years. I'd love to see her up there on the same level as Charlotte Flair. You know what I mean? I think...
Okada is just as fast, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. She was a
grown... wrestling background in 2 years, best in the business.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Mellabration is finally here, Ray. Can you feel it? Can you feel this?
Oh, I feel it.
The excitement all the way across the pond. We can feel it all the way over here. Carmella arrives for her Mellabration. I'm just going to read. I want to read what 411 Mania had to say about this particular celebration. Carmella gets an official introduction from a town crier, mentioning that she beat Charlotte twice. Carmella enters with royal guards accompanying her. Carmella gives the fans a chance to show how much they love her and asks them to shower her with praise. They refuse. Carmella runs down the fans for not showing her the respect she's earned. She commands that they bow before her. They refuse. Carmella continues to run down the fans, reminding them that she's money and the champion. She claims to be better than everyone, even Ronda Rousey, Trish, and Lita combined. Paige interrupts, plays to the crowd, and informs Carmella that she has a title defense at Money in the Bank. Carmella says she's not defending at Money in the Bank, and Paige reveals that Carmella's opponent is this woman, Asuka. I freaking loved that. And they end this paragraph with, Carmella runs away.
Carmella had a good career, bro. It's a shame to see her die.
Someone's hot take on 411 Mania was, this was a fine segment. Carmella was annoying in a good way. And yes. We set another match for Money in the Bank. We'll see if Asuka can have a good match with Carmella where Charlotte Flair has failed. So I guess
we're... I would really like... I'm not a betting man.
Yeah.
But I would really like to know the over-under on how long this match lasts. Because this match should last about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And 2 minutes of that is Carmella running. And the other minute is Asuka kicking her head into the fourth row.
How about if we... Let's... do you have a piece of paper and pen in front of you? Because I do not have it right now at my desk.
Yes, sir.
Can you write down, if you'll write down a note to remind me, I will contact Bet Pro Wrestling or Pro Wrestling Bet, whatever they are, on Twitter and see if there's an over-under for that.
Okay.
On anything involving this match right here, and we'll look it up. And if they have that information, we'll talk about it tomorrow on the show.
I have a question for you.
Let's hear it.
This is all hypothetically speaking, right?
Okay.
If Carmella defeats Asuka, and I'm not talking like disqualification, I'm talking like she pins her or whatever.
Like clean?
No matter. No.
Doesn't have to be clean?
No, just in general. Some kind of victory.
Gotcha.
Will you lose your mind?
Yeah, I think that, oh man. Yeah, I think I would. For one... for Carmella's sake, man, you know, it would be really good for Carmella to get a win over Asuka, but that, man, you know, to build up Asuka like you did, and then to have her lose two big matches in a row against Charlotte Flair and then Carmella as well. Yeah, I'm like 50-50. Like, you know what I mean? Like, one side I want to, if Carmella wins, I'm like, why are you doing this to Asuka? You know, but if at the same time, I'm like, damn, Carmella, you know, she's put in the work. She's a great heel champion, and she probably deserves a big win. You know what I mean?
Well, first and foremost, if you remember, if you're a listener of the show, I said that Carmella was going to face Asuka at Money in the Bank because Asuka was going to win and face Charlotte in the rematch with the roles reversed at SummerSlam. So far, looking like that's right.
Yeah.
However, I have a follow-up question to that first question for you.
Shoot.
Do you think because Carmella beat Charlotte fairly cleanly, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not like she beat her, but she didn't cheat.
Right.
Like, nothing. She didn't do anything that, like, she was a heel, but like, as long as she hit her with the title or a chair. No, she just kicked her leg out, you know.
Right.
But do you think with Carmella already beating Charlotte for the title, then retaining it fairly cleanly, do you think that diminishes the streak that Asuka has since Charlotte beat the streak?
You know, when you mention it, it did not really have that big of a bearing on me in this particular situation. I know what you're talking about, and I have had those thoughts in other situations. I can't think of one right off the top of my head. But in this one, it did not have a really big bearing on me because Carmella's win, you know, she was playing to an old injury of Charlotte's. You know, Charlotte sold it well that it was the knee problem that got her and not just a clean victory. So not so much in this situation, and I could just be, maybe being a little bit biased because I'm such a big Carmella fan, and that's not to sound weird because she's a beautiful chick or anything, but you know, just because I'm a fan of how heelish Carmella is,
she's a great character.
Yeah, I absolutely love her microphone work and stuff like that. So, but anyway, no, not so much in that situation. Even though, I maybe should have because I'm a huge Asuka fan, she was our honorable mention in each, you know, when we said what was our three favorite wrestlers of all time on Monday. You know, she's one of my favorite female performers of all time. Not my favorite, but one of my favorites. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, not really is my answer.
That's the conversation that's being had right now. And it's a fair conversation.
Yeah, it's very fair. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's a very fair conversation because you spent 3 years building Asuka up, and she loses to who I think was the right person, personally.
Yeah, I agree.
But then that person goes and loses to a woman who is very established, isn't very good in the ring.
Yeah.
So, but then they go that then that brings up the conversation of realism versus storyline. And you know what side I lean on, which is why it doesn't bother me. But if you lean on the side of realism, then I'm sure that it driving you crazy. But I say I'm only bringing all that up because this is gonna sound ridiculous. I think it's a fairly good chance Carmella wins.
Really?
Because the story is being told is everybody knows Carmella isn't good, and she keeps sneaking ways to keep winning. So, you know, it's effectively, it's like a female Miz.
It's a good point.
You know?
Yeah, it's a good point.
I realize Miz, the past year Miz hasn't been quite that. The Miz in the past year, he's stood toe-to-toe with, like, Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, Dolph Ziggler, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor. Like, he's handled his own.
Right.
But, you know, traditional Miz, everybody know bro not good. And he keep winning because he keep cheating, sneaking. He's just smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the story. So, you know, I guess we kind of got to prepare ourselves for the possibility that Asuka could lose to Carmella.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
I don't think it's much better than we give it credit for. But that's all. We can move on. I just found that really interesting and kind of want to know where you stood on that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'll say real quick, we'll elaborate. I'll save my explanation for my thinking of this whenever we have our head-to-head show the Friday before the pay-per-view with Talkamania.
But
I think that Carmella, at least this reign, is going to be a transitional reign.
Yeah, my prediction as of right now is Asuka's going to kick her head off.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that more when the time comes. Cause I'm going to have kind of like a well thought out like explanation of it and stuff. Cause it's in my head right now. But if I try to spit it out right now without putting some serious thought to it, it might not sound so convincing. You know what I mean? It might just come out. Asuka's going to win. Cause she's like better.
Well, that's okay. I know what you mean. We got a month. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So Renee Young interviews Nakamura in the back. He pretty much just says that he's going to beat AJ Styles tonight. Says the knees to face, break Styles face, yada, 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 that stuff.
By the way, I'm really inspired by Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm really inspired.
Yeah.
Because this is a man who, through all the trauma he's dealt with in this AJ Styles situation, has forgotten how to speak an entire language.
An entire language, bro.
And he remembered last night. I'm so proud of him. It came back to him. I want him to know how proud I am and how inspired I am for him to work so hard to remember a language that he forgot, that he just learned a couple years ago anyway. So, hey, Shinsuke, you're my hero.
Hashtag Ray is kayfabe. I love it. next, we had Becky Lynch versus Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville. It was actually a pretty good match. First little bit, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville did not go head-to-head. There was a couple of times that they did kind of cross, and then the end. Was that a big boot that Mandy hit Sonya Deville with whenever she hit her by accident and was like shocked, and that's when Becky grabbed her? Was it a big boot? Do you remember?
I think so. I don't remember. I'm sorry. I really don't.
No, you're good.
I kind of fast-forwarded through this match, if I'm honest with you.
No, that's all good. I'm pretty sure it was a big boot. And then after Sonya rolls out of the ring, after the move, Becky gets Mandy into the disarmor. It looks like Mandy's going to get to the ropes. She ends up tapping. Thought it was a great finish. And Becky officially qualifies for the Money in the Bank ladder match. She might be, if not my front runner, my close number two to winning the briefcase. And after you say what you want to say, I have a question for you.
Okay. I just wanted to say, are you guys happy now? Because we talked about it last week. It's so much. Becky is so loved that every time she loses, oh my God, they're burying Becky. Becky this, Becky. She won. Triple threat match against two best friends. Y'all happy now?
Yeah.
She's in the Money in the Bank, and she's probably going to be the front runner to win that thing. Y'all happy now?
Denise Stray gets two. Seems like Rose accidentally takes it. Yeah, I looked it up. Rose accidentally takes out Deville. Does not say if it was a boot or not, so I have to go back and look. My question for you is, so I just told you that Becky Lynch is either my front runner or a close number two for winning the Money in the Bank briefcase. Now, it's kind of a two-part question.
Okay.
I was trying to think of it, and how many baby faces do you remember that have won the Money in the Bank ladder match? And do you think that a heel having the briefcase works better than a baby face?
A heel having the briefcase tremendously works better than a baby face, because the whole point of the concept is
to be sneaky.
To get a title. Well, I'm not even gonna go that far. The whole concept is to have a title shot when you haven't earned it.
Gotcha. That's a fair point.
Yeah, and I mean, technically you can say winning the title, winning the ladder match is earning it, but you have the right to have a match whenever you deem so, whenever you choose. Now, faces, Rob Van Dam, John Cena, have been fair and given their opponent warning, but the heels, why would you? What's the point? But yes, Rob Van Dam, CM Punk, and John Cena have all been three faces that won the briefcase.
Okay.
I think that's it.
I dig it.
I want to say that's it.
Mr. Yeah. Anderson wasn't Ken Kennedy. He wasn't a face, was he?
God no. This was when he was actually still hot.
Okay. Okay.
And he was huge heel at the time.
Gotcha. 411 Mania rated this match 4.25 star, and I mean 2.25 star. Did I say 4?
Oh, Jesus Christ! Wow.
My bad. I really didn't mean to say that.
They're being very, very generous right now.
Right.
Dean Ambrose won too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Dean Ambrose, yeah, and he cashed in. I forget about that one because he literally cashed in an hour later.
Yeah, basically.
I wanted to read this real quick, what 411 Mania said about the triple threat match between Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, and Becky Lynch. They put, "I love that Becky picked up the win and got into the Money in the Bank ladder match. The match was okay, but largely felt disjointed and far from smooth. These triple threats are all running together. I would have personally preferred more one-on-one matches. Unfortunately, their plan for that is Lana versus Billy Kay."
Here's why I disagree with that.
Okay.
Just real quick. There are too many wrestlers, male and female, deserving of a shot to just say we're only going to do singles. You know? So
yeah.
Each brand has what, 4 spots on each show?
Yeah, I think 4. Is it 8 and 8? They're doing 8 men and 8 yeah. women, so it'd be 4. Yeah, so 4 men, 4 women are going to go from each brand.
So, and I understand it gets a little different when it comes to the women, because it's not, they're definitely not as deep as the men are, but it would be really unfair to leave out people to even have the chance. Like, and some of them have been singles matches, you know, but I don't mind the triple threat match because it gives more people opportunity to get into the match, which essentially is supposed to be Money in the Bank is basically the summer version of Royal Rumble, basically.
Yeah,
think about it. The Royal Rumble, you outlast 30 people to get a title shot. Money in the Bank.
Oh yeah, I wasn't even thinking about it like that. I was just talking. I just thought you meant like in comparison of almost as big as, because we talked about yesterday on the show it being becoming the 5th biggest pay per view to be the big 5 basically. But yeah, I see that makes even more sense what you're saying. That yeah, you try to hold on for as long as you can to get to win a title shot.
Yeah, exactly. I understand what they're saying, because a lot of triple threats have kind of had the same premise in their matches, but that doesn't mean they should have done triple threats. That just means doing better.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Do you agree with the 2.25 star rating that they gave it?
I mean, yeah, it's a TV match. Yeah,
about typical, right?
Yeah, it wasn't great. But it wasn't bad. It was average, enjoyable.
Right, right.
And, Becky winning, I'm sure, made people feel like it was a much better match because they got the desired reaction they wanted. So,
right. I gotcha. Another thing that 411 Mania says, they gave us a little bit of deal right here. Samoa Joe versus Big Cass and Lana versus Billy Kay will both take place next week. And, they talk about Joe's promo on Big Cass, which took place at this time, where he's backstage. I don't know if it, like the phone promo gimmick kind of deal they're doing. It says Joe cuts a promo on Big Cass, running him down ahead of next week's match. And then they just simply put, Joe is a national treasure. what's your thoughts on Joe? You like, you big Samoa Joe fan?
Huge Samoa Joe fan. Amazing.
I dig it. I like it. Next, well, I guess after the Samoa Joe promo, we had Billy Kay cutting a promo with Peyton Royce. Looked like they were... If you looked closely at the background, you know, it's supposed to look like they're in their house or whatever, I guess. But it was, the props in the back look so fake.
Yeah.
And I usually, it doesn't, I'm not complaining because normally, you know, but I'm a big attention to detail guy. And I love the fact that they made it look like homely with, like, you know, a bookcase and stuff like that. But it just made me laugh that, dude, it was obvious it was so fake. You know what I mean? But,
oh, absolutely.
But, it was pretty funny. Now we're up to the main event. So the champion AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And the premise of this match was, correct me if I'm wrong, the winner gets to decide what kind of gimmick match they're going to have at Money in the Bank?
Yes, the stipulation.
Okay. So, yeah, the winner picks the stipulation for the Money in the Bank rematch, which will be, like, what, their fifth match?
This will be the fifth match. By the way, I saw a meme.
Yeah?
I saw a meme on Twitter that said, WWE fans say... we really want to see Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles. And WWE says, excuse my language, here, bitch, damn. Because you want it. We'll give it to you five times in a month and a half. Here,
right.
You wanted it, be happy. It's hilarious because it's really kind of true.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
It was a good match. It actually went back and forth pretty well, I thought. I thought they were both.
It's the best match they've had out of the four.
Right, yeah, I agree with you. They went head to head. One of them, you know, didn't get too much over on the other without the other one getting a good run as well. There was a bunch of counters. They traded some cradles, a bunch of near falls. Not a bunch, but more than two near falls. It gets to the end. There was almost a ref bump following AJ Styles' phenomenal forearm. He's able to pull himself back so he doesn't hit the ref. It looked like Nakamura was going to go for some sort of German suplex, belly-to-back suplex of some sort. AJ hits him with an elbow, and then as the referee is getting up, Nakamura fakes a low blow on himself. So AJ turns around, he's pleading his case with the ref, and then he gets hit in the back of the head with a forearm. He hits, I think they call that a reverse exploder, where it's a belly-to-back suplex, but AJ, the person that's getting the move performed on them, completely does a backflip and faceplants on the mat.
Reverse exploder.
Yeah, reverse exploder, right? And that assisted Nakamura into the Kinshasa for the 1-2-3.
So basically, it's Shinsuke Guerrero.
Yeah.
That was a page straight out of Eddie Guerrero's playbook.
It's true, yeah. We lie, we cheat, we steal.
Boy, I'm telling you, man. That finish.
Screw Jim finish. Johnson. You don't need Jim Johnson when you got me, bro. We lie, we cheat, we steal. CFOs, who?
Jordan the Body Fox.
Dude, I'm so horrible. It's like golf, man. I'm so horrible at it, but I love to do it for some reason.
That's a really good analogy, actually, because yeah. Not to play golf with trash.
Yeah, same.
But
man.
They keep playing it.
Right.
But I love that finish so much.
Oh yeah, I do too.
There had to be a definitive winner, because somebody had to win a match so that they could add the step. Shinsuke had to win a match because out of the three matches, Shinsuke hadn't won anything. So, you know, he gets a chance to win and look strong going into Money in the Bank and gets to taunt AJ even more. And they continue to play off the low blows.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It worked really good. 411 Mania gave it 3.5 stars, which I think that's pretty fair. It wasn't, you know... It was a good match. It was a really good match. I thought was a good main event. Like you said, probably the best that they've had so far. Actually, probably not probably. It definitely is the best by a pretty good margin.
Well, if no other reason, it had a finish.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
and,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to mention this to you earlier when we were talking before we started the show, but it seems to me that Nakamura has, like, fully embraced his heel role in the WWE. Okay, and since then, I think they've skyrocketed since then.
Which is why I didn't mind the WrestleMania match not being what we expected it. Because it was a conduit for a bigger story and a much needed Shinsuke heel turn. So I'm willing to say, okay, I'll sacrifice that for the greater good.
Right.
It just so happens that the greater good has been two more false finishes.
Right, right.
So which then makes, so I feel like the match last night gave it back some much needed steam, because it's as you said earlier, it's really hard to care about a match when nobody's winning.
Yeah.
You know, and I know I'm very adamant that wins and losses don't matter, but still somebody has to be victorious, because nobody looks good when nothing happens.
I dig it. And that was our SmackDown. That was the SmackDown breakdown, man. So you gave the show a B+, right? Or does that change anything now that we've talked it over and found that it was actually a really good show? I don't think either one of us really complained about anything on this show. I'm coming to the main thing I complained more about: the crappy props behind Peyton Royce and Billy Kay than I did anything else.
Telling you, man, you're not fit for, man. You know, you're about to pro. I'm joking. So now that I've had time to talk it over and think about it, I'm going to change my grade and give it a D-.
A B-?
A D-.
Okay. What's for the change? What's up with the change, bruh?
I don't. I'm just bullshitting. I'm just playing.
Oh, did you say D-?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Okay. I thought you said B-, and I was like, "Well, no, I thought we had fun talking about it. I thought it was good."
Yeah, no, it was an enjoyable show. I enjoyed it. SmackDown's always fun. 2 hours kind of flies by.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy for, like I said yesterday, I'm happy for the UK. They deserve these shows, but I'll be much happier when they get back to the States so I can watch it live.
Right. Right.
Because it's something about watching a show. So if you were to watch the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
Play. And they played, let's say they had a major game against, I don't know, the Giants, right? A big game.
Right.
Or the Eagles.
Yeah.
And you had to be on a plane, so you couldn't watch it live. So you have it taped. When you get home, you get a chance to watch it again. You don't have the same excitement watching it taped when you know it was live.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
So I don't have the same excitement for these shows. The only thing in the past 2 days, Raw Monday night and SmackDown last night, the only two things that have gotten me excited were Roman spearing Jinder through the wall and Andrade Cien Almas debuting.
Yeah.
And normally the entire show has me excited because it's live. But
right.
Because they're pre-taped, you know, I've already read the spoilers because, you know, I'm that guy. I can't not read them, you know, and it's just the excitement is kind of muted for me. And I'm not saying that I hope UK get more shows than just two a year, but my excitement is dwindled tremendously. So for this show to still be a B+, shows was a really good show.
I dig it. Yeah, I agree with you. As far as watching stuff on tape, it's just not, that's been taped, it's just not the same to me. I think that's kind of one of my complaints about Impact Wrestling, TNA Impact, is because it's not live, it's taped, and it just doesn't have that same anything could happen feel as Raw and SmackDown do.
Well, let me say this, because I don't want to sound hypocritical. I don't mind taped shows that are taped far in advance as much. Like NXT, for example.
Okay.
I'm fine with that because it's taped a month at a time. The problem with Impact is they tape 3 months at a time. So they'll be showcasing people who have been gone from the company and are wrestling for other companies.
Yeah.
EC3 debuted when he was still wrestling on TNA.
Yeah. Yeah, they were still finishing the storyline where he got the Feast or Fire briefcase.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, at some point, it gets a little ridiculous. You know, so that's the problem with, among a million other things I have with Impact Wrestling. But that's the difference, I think, between how Impact tapes and how NXT tapes. Because NXT tapes 3 episodes, maybe 4 episodes in advance.
Right.
Right? So it's still, it's long enough. It's long enough to where you'll forget the spoilers pretty much, and everything will still feel new. But then, you know, but then it's still taped so that they can still condense everything in one night.
Right.
Impact, they're doing months at a time. And you know, and I get why they're doing it. It saves a lot of money. I ain't mad at the premise, but your storylines are getting killed when everybody who's in your shows is on different companies now.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I know what you mean. I feel the same way, man. Maybe we'll have a longer discussion about it tomorrow. We're going to have a great show tomorrow. One of the things that we're going to do tomorrow, since today is Wednesday, this is when the Wrestling Observer newsletter comes out, so we will do a little review on what Mr. Meltzer has to say on everything from this past week tomorrow on the show. And we'll be talking about a host of other things that Ray and myself come up with. Ray, anything you want to say before we go, man?
Yeah, man. If you guys haven't had a chance, go check my column out on chairshot.com. It's got some pretty good feedback so far. I'm proud of it. It's funny that you mentioned that we're going to talk about Meltzer's Observer when
right.
The crux of my column was kind of criticizing Meltzer's Observer. Nonetheless, yeah, go check it out, man. Just, you know, I want us as wrestling fans to not allow the news that we read that is so obviously skewed,
right,
to affect our opinions.
So, yeah, you know, absolutely.
Open your minds. Go check it out.
I think maybe tomorrow we might, you know, kind of dissect some stuff in the Observer, and we can talk about maybe some stuff that you mentioned in your column, some stuff that maybe you don't think should be in the newsletter. If, you know, if there's some stuff, or maybe, you know, a whole bunch of stuff like that. You know what I mean? I think we can maybe tie it into your article, because I think your article, you know me, I praise, and this is no BS. I don't just say this on the show. Like, you know, I'm sure you could probably have 5 screenshots of different times I've told you how good your writing is. I absolutely think you're one of the best writers out there, man. You're absolutely phenomenal. I loved that last column. By the way, it is pinned up to our show Twitter page, so it's pinned up there. So go check it out on thechairshot.com. So I thought, you know, we could, look in the Observer and stuff like that, and just kind of talk about some BS that's in there. Because you know me, I like reading the dirt sheets.
Oh, me too.
And even for no other reason, to kind of laugh at the speculation that Meltzer and Wade Keller sometimes put in there and pass it off as, you know, the gospel. And which sometimes that does happen. You know, I'm not blind to that. But, I mean, you know, we'll talk about all that tomorrow.
I don't want people to think that I don't like Muscle Observer or Dirt Sheets or Wrestling News in general. I love all that stuff.
Right.
The problem is Meltzer in general and a lot of wrestling journalists, like the people who report the news, they try to act like they're being completely unbiased when they're truly and openly biased. So as long as you tell me, as long as you're honest with me about, you know, this is my opinion and I'm biased, then I'm cool with it. But don't sit and try to sell me something real when I know it's not real.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we'll talk about it tomorrow, because I have some very specific examples in the column of my point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will have the column up tomorrow. We'll talk about the column. We'll talk about the newsletter. And we'll just kind of go down the rabbit hole, per se, with all of that stuff, and just have we'll have a fun episode. So, all right, guys. Why am I drawing a blank? It seems like I was going to say something else, but don't forget, guys, to check us out on the Chairshot Radio Network. Don't forget to check out Ray's column. It is pinned up. Every time Ray puts up a column, we pin it on the Twitter page. So don't forget, go check it out. Show him some love. Give him some feedback. Even if you have some negative feedback, I know Ray would love to hear it. Ray is a great writer. I don't think he'll get any negative feedback, because I think every single one of y'all, if y'all go read the column, I think it's great. I think y'all will think it's great as well. Don't forget to follow myself at Fox the Podcaster on Twitter. You can follow Ray at It's Ray Cash, and you can follow the show World Class Daily. That's World Class DAILY. In case you didn't know, it's because we host a daily show. All right, guys. Did you like that one, Ray?
Pretty good.
You're probably like, get me off this damn show already. No, I'm just kidding. Thank y'all very much for tuning in, guys. If it wasn't for everyone tuning in every day, me and Ray would not have a show, so we truly appreciate it. And for Ray and myself, everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.